Hey there, welcome to the BCHL podcast presented by Subway. This is Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications, and we have two interview segments for you in this week's show. We'll get to those shortly, but first, a quick update on where things stand now that we're in round two of the BCHL playoffs. The Prince George Spruce Kings came up with a huge win on home ice Thursday night in a must-win game, but they still trail the Surrey Eagles 3-2 in the mainland final. Game 6 is Saturday in Surrey, with the number 3 seed Eagles getting another chance to close it out. On the island, it's another divisional 3 seed, the Powell River Kings, with a 3-1 edge on the top-seeded Victoria Grizzlies. Game 5 is coming up Friday night in Victoria. In the Interior Division semifinals, the home teams have won every game so far. Penticton got out to a 2-0 lead on Trail, only to have the Smoke Eaters respond with two wins of their own at Cominco Arena. Same story with the Vernon Vipers and Wenatchee Wild, as Vernon went up 2-0 at home, but the Wild held serve with a pair of victories in Washington State. Game 5 there is Friday in Vernon. Our first guest today is from that Wenatchee-Vernon series. Vipers defenseman Michael Ufberg, a second-team BCHL All-Star, spoke to Jesse Adamson, who has been working with the BCHL office during the postseason, on the topic of home ice advantage. They started out discussing just what it is that makes the Wild so tough to beat in their own barn.
You know what? They play really well, obviously, their home rink. They have a good fan base, and it kind of motivates them a little bit. But it's like anybody else. I think everybody feels comfortable playing at home. But, you know, Wenatchee's they're a really good team. I think with us going up in the series 2-0, obviously being playoffs and going back there, it was pretty much a must win for them. So they obviously came out. They were super desperate, and have to give them a lot of credit for winning those two games. But I think part of the reason why they love playing at home is because the fans are really supportive there.
You mentioned being comfortable playing at home. What do you think the difference is between playing on the road and playing at home? Like, both teams seem to be really successful at home.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, I think it's just a little more mental. With going away, obviously you have a bus trip, and you kind of have to get the butt fixed out. But at the same time, you're going the day before, you're skating the morning of. But again, like I said, with the fan base, I think just having that support behind you really helps and really just gives you that extra energy. And you kind of saw that with, you know, our games at home and their games at home.
So you guys are back at home for Game 5 tonight. What do you guys need to focus on to get a win tonight?
We just have to get back to the basics. I think we kind of let the two games there get away from us a little bit. Just pretty much playing our game, chipping pucks behind them, getting to work down low, getting the puck back to the points, getting shots through with traffic in front of the net. Just things we've talked about and worked on all season long. I mean, we're really successful when we play a certain way, and I think, you know, after watching some of the video after the games and Wenatchee, we know what we have to do and we know how we have to beat Wenatchee and how we have to be successful.
So as most people know, you guys play in the Interior Division. The three top teams in the league, points-wise, came from your division. Trail is in your division. They're the second highest scoring team in the league. What's it been like playing in that division this year and knowing you'd have to go through these teams in the playoffs?
Oh, it's great. I mean, the Interior, it's every game you have to be up for. You can't take one night off because, you know, the sixth place or seventh place team can beat the first place team. It really doesn't matter. It kind of speaks for the league too. There's a lot of parity and it creates a rivalry with those teams. It's so much fun. The competition level is just so high. And yeah, like you said, we knew that we'd have to walk through play a lot of these teams in playoffs because you have to win the Interior Conference, but we were prepared for that. I mean, we played each team, I think, 6 times throughout the regular season, but it's just a matter of, again, playing our game, playing the way we know how to play, and making sure we do what makes us successful.
So you were named a second-team All-Star this year. You were the second leading scoring defenseman. You had a good year last year as well, but clearly you improved this year. Why do you think you were successful? Is that just a case of being a year older?
Yeah, obviously the year helps, being a 20-year-old, having that year of experience. But again, you look at our team, we were second in the league in points in the standings, and we have a lot of talent. Like, you look at our forward group, and we have 4 lines that can just keep coming and coming and putting up points on the board, and our D-men are all good puck movers, and then with our goalie, they stop everything for us. So we really play together, and our coaching staff, Mark, Kevin, and Kevin, and Jared, do a really good job making sure we're playing together, and I think you saw a lot of guys have successful seasons because of the way that our team plays. and obviously the points kind of come with the team game.
And finally, the owner of the Vipers, Duncan Ray, passed away in January. I'm sure that must have been tough on you guys. What was it like playing just a few days after that, and how has that motivated the team down the stretch and into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's obviously tough when, you know, a group of teenagers has to go through something like that. Obviously, it was a tragedy, totally unexpected thing. And, you know, it was just a case of maturing and getting through it together. Having leaders like Mark and our coaches and, you know, the older guys in the team just really talking about coming together as one and kind of using it as adversity and overcoming it. We had one game after in Merritt that, you know, we lost 5-0, and obviously that's super tough. Everybody's still really emotional. But after that, everybody really, really came together, and we know how great of a guy Duncan was, and all he wanted was for the Vernon Vipers to have success. So obviously before games, and especially now we're getting down to it, we have a really, really, every game is a must-win pretty much. And it's talked about in the locker room, let's do it for Duncan. We have a team slogan, all the Ray in, and obviously that's in Duncan's honor. And we know that in the end that a lot of what we're doing is for Duncan.
Big thanks to Jesse Adamson for that interview with Vipers blue liner Michael Ufberg. Into the alumni spotlight we go now, and an inspirational story from NCAA hockey featuring Prince George Spruce Kings former captain Bryant Christian. You may have seen the story last week as it was featured in several media outlets, but Christian wrapped up his four-year career at American International with an incredible feat. On the first shift of what would be the final game of his college career, Christian sustained a bone break in the lower leg and was sidelined for what should have been the rest of the game. But late in the proceedings, when it was clear AIC was going to be on the wrong side of the score, Christian managed to convince his head coach to let him hop the boards for a final skate, though he had only one leg to stand on.
You know, it was a game three, Sunday night, do or die, but a game series here in the Atlantic Hockey Conference. And, you know, first shift out on the ice, and, you know, I've probably gone into the board the same way over 100 times. And for whatever reason, this time, the leg kind of just went into the boards at the wrong angle and kind of knew right away that it couldn't have been good just by the sheer pain and the swelling that took place instantaneously. And luckily enough, it was close to the bench, so I was able to kind of hop over the board, into the boards, and trainer was able to take a quick look at it, and it's pretty evident that it was a pretty serious injury.
So, you know, from that point, that was early in the game. Now, your coach at AIC is Eric Lang. He's a guy that I've gotten to know a little bit because he's come and worked at our showcase events in the past. But it got to be late in the game, and I guess it became evident that, you know, things weren't going to go your way, but this was going to be your last NCAA hockey game. So I guess you kind of looked over your shoulder and asked for permission to hop the boards. Is that pretty much accurate?
Yeah, so like I said, it sort of kind of happened. I knew it was pretty serious, and as much as I wanted to go out there, I knew I would have been a liability. And, you know, it's game three, and I want my team to move on. And I stayed on the bench with my team and in the locker rooms just to be there, you know, kind of emotional support. You know, I'm the leader of the team, and they had been there with me my entire 4 years here at AIC, and, you know, I wanted to be a part of that. And once, you know, it was a 3-0 game kind of late with a few seconds left, and it became pretty clear that, you know, the game was going to end. So, you know, our coach started sending my fellow seniors over the boards and watching them go on the ice. So, you know, I came in with those guys and I wanted to go out with them. So kind of just gave him a look and, you know, kind of asked, do you mind? And he didn't really give me a response. He kind of got choked up right away. So I just kind of hopped over and was able to get off to the face-off circle and finish it out with my fellow seniors.
How were you actually physically able to skate around? I saw a little clip of it, and it kind of looked like you were using the one leg. I can't imagine skating on a broken leg, though. I mean, did you even feel it at that point?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the question people have been asking me. And, you know, just going back to, you know, that short shift there, I don't really remember the pain at all, just the emotions of everything. And, you know, everything kind of hits you quickly once you realize, you know, that was going to be it. And you see your fellow seniors, you know, they're starting to get a little choked up at the face-off circle. And just all the emotions involved kind of drowned out any physical pain. And I was able to kind of just glide around on the broken one and push with the good one. And, pain, you know, the excruciating pain didn't really set in until everything kind of wore off.
Now, for those that don't know, you're part of the well-known Christian family that's a big-time hockey family, especially in USA hockey circles. Your uncle Dave won the gold medal with the Miracle on Ice 1980 men's Olympic team. So you've probably got to meet some pretty cool people in the game of hockey through that connection. But over the last week, you've also done a lot of media. Is there anyone surprising that you've met or talked to as a result of the response to your story?
Oh, yeah, my coach and I, we were on NHL Network kind of middle of last week, so that was pretty cool. But, you know, the cool conversations and the ones I'm going to cherish the most are, you know, just old coaches reaching out to me and old teammates kind of reaching out to, you know, tell me congrats on the college career and, you know, well wishes going forward with the injury. But, you know, it's been cool to see some of the people that have liked it or retweeted some stories or articles, but I'm going to cherish just the old teammates and coaches reaching out in those conversations.
Now, I don't know if you had plans or designs on continuing playing, or if you have, obviously that's on hold for the moment, but did you have thoughts of what you might be able to do hockey-wise, and has this process maybe opened a few doors because of some more people finding out about you a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, I had thought about, you know, maybe going on and playing, but also, you know, took my academics pretty seriously while I was out here, kind of the reason why I wanted to play college hockey. And growing up, it was my goal to play college hockey. I kind of watched college hockey more than the NHL. So it was kind of a dream come true to come out here, and I have a lot of gratitude towards American International for giving me that opportunity to play. So, you know, kind of throughout the year, kind of took it as, you know, this is probably going to be the last competitive season. And so going forward, you know, I'll probably help out coaching-wise, youth hockey, and, you know, playing some senior leagues. But as far as competitive goes, that was it. So it's kind of a way to go out.
Now, you were mentioning how big a follower you are of college hockey. Air Force is a team that comes out of Atlantic Hockey, goes into the NCAA tournament. What do you think of their chances? They have a pretty tough assignment right out of the gate with St. Cloud.
Yeah, they got a tough region, but you know, Air Force, they find ways to win. Even when they don't have their A game, they kind of hunker down and find a way to get it done. You know, they had a tough first half of the season, and you look at their second half of the schedule, it's been pretty impressive what they've been able to do. So, I mean, you can't count these Atlantic teams out. RIT was able to, you know, upset the number one team a couple of years ago in Minnesota State. So you just never know. It takes one team to play their A game and catch another team off guard, and anything can happen, as we know in college hockey.
Maybe should, before we let you go, get a little bit of an update on from you in terms of the way that you follow the Prince George Spruce Kings, the team you played for in the BCHL. How do you track them, and what do you make of their progress this season?
Oh, I mean, it's been awesome. You know, beginning of the year, they definitely had their struggles, but just watching them ever since Christmas break, it was like I was checking the box scores. It just seemed like every time there was a win, and, you know, scoring a lot of goals too with that. And sounds like they got a solid netminder, and, you know, that goes well in the playoff. And they got a tough matchup right out of the gates with Chilliwack in the first round. But, you know, I'm able to follow them through Twitter and just, you know, my billet family. I'm so close with them. They're back in Prince George, so talk to them every once in a while and kind of get a visual opinion from what they think. So, but as far as Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all those things go, it allows me to, you know, follow along a lot closer.
That was Prince George Spruce Kings alum Bryant Christian on the finish of his college career at American International. And that's going to do it for the podcast this week. For all the latest headlines from the BCHL, hit the website at bchl.ca and download the BCHL app for iOS or Android. It's free in the App Store. This is Brent Mutis from BCHL Communications. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.